Football. The World Game. These are the episodes of the Spot Kick Podcast. Its ongoing mission, to discuss the weekend's results, to make puns of an unnecessary nature, to boldly banter where no Aussie has bantered before.
Happy birthday to Patrice Evra, everybody. I am Jono, and welcome to the Spot Kick Podcast.
Yes, and I am James T. Kirk, captain of the Starship Enterprise. Going on a Star Trek. You know, the movie's just come out, doing really well. It's a good movie. All right, well, anyway. I'm Julian, and we've got our usual Star Trek podcast for you today. So we'll be talking about football, that is soccer. We'll have our word of the week, followed by our match roundups really quick. And, of course, the big news, the Alex Ferguson, Roberto Mancini, the dog at the door trying to break it down.
Sorry for that delay. Spot Kick Studios were just attacked by a pack of wolves. But we're all okay, don't worry.
Yeah, the pack of wolves, also known as the dog that Jono allows to sprawl around in our Spot Kick Studios.
Yeah, but back to the football talk.
Really? I think, you know, in the first minute of this football podcast, we covered your pet and Star Trek. So,
good. Considering this is probably our most dense podcast ever, and we're wasting time talking about this.
I feel like we need some filler.
I'm sure we could find some other off-topic topics to talk about. Anyway, let's go. Today, we've got so much news to cover. We're actually going to try to gloss over the match reports quite quickly if we can. Just because so much happened in the past week. And, yeah, unlike last week, it was actually one of the most exciting weeks for a long time.
Yeah, I suppose last week was a calm before the storm. We were complaining about it being boring. Maybe that was it. It was just a cumulative, like, build-up just waiting to happen. It's quite exciting in the lead up to both the final day of the season and the summer transfer window.
Yeah. Let's quickly get our word of the week out of the way.
Words. Words. Words.
I'll go first.
Cool.
This week, my word is pellegrining, because Pellegrini, the Malaga manager, is rumored to be very much connected to the now empty managerial spot at Manchester City. So he's got a big smile on his face because, he's now got a lot of money.
Yeah. It's not a particularly exciting play on words or anything, just more of a tribute. I'm just going to go with greatness. For the dear Sir Alex Ferguson that retired, obvious reasons. We'll cover more about it, obviously, a bit later after we go through our matches. But, yeah, I mean, it's been quite a really mixed emotional week in terms of everything.
Did you cry during his speech?
I almost did.
Really?
I actually had tears in my eyes. I thought it was probably the most emotional I've been watching a match. Although...
Really?
I think the fact that he didn't get so emotional sort of stopped me from getting.
Yeah, I thought that's what, I figured, if I'd been at a club for 25 years and I was giving a speech, I'd be bawling. I don't know how he kept it together.
Yeah.
But as if that's the most emotional you've ever been,
Well, in terms of sadness, not in terms of excitement or anything like that.
Look, when I was supporting France in the 2006 World Cup and we went out on penalties, there were so many tears in my eyes.
Yeah. Anyway, let's quickly get going with our Premier League.
But first, our review of the 2006 World Cup.
Actually, let's get started. Instead of the league, why don't we start with the FA Cup final?
Yeah.
That was huge and hugely exciting, actually. It was really, really great to watch. Wigan beat Manchester City.
And did it deservedly.
Yeah, David absolutely slaughtered Goliath in the most convincing display of football I've seen from a small team against such a giant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a really, really solid display from Wigan. They were, right from the get-go, they really just attacked. They just didn't stop going. City, to be honest, I didn't think they really showed up.
Yeah, it kind of looked that way. And, I mean, it did seem like they were very thrown off by Roberto Martinez chucking three at the back. And that really gave Wigan so much forward momentum. And they were just pressing all over the pitch. And especially Callum McManaman was giving Clichy, you know, no end of trouble.
Yep.
And just a great performance by Wigan. I mean, we wouldn't want to take away from Wigan by saying Manchester City played badly. I think Wigan were very
good. Yeah, no, definitely. It was actually, I mean, it was so tense, the fact that they just kept pressing the entire game. And I just sort of felt maybe City was going to do what they do and just sneak that goal in right at the end. But Wigan kept pressing and they eventually got what they deserved. And Watson came off the bench and scored a great header.
Yeah, last minute of play.
Yeah.
I mean,
it was the best finish, an absolute story. Fairy tale.
Yeah, until they get relegated.
Yeah. that's another world. We don't have to include that. But yeah, really props to Wigan.
And to be honest, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I called a Wigan 1-0 win before the game for those exact reasons. I think Roberto Martinez was very tactically astute. And also, when a club like Wigan goes in with that underdog mentality against a big club like Manchester City, who have no trophies this season, so almost they've got that weight of having to win it. When you're an underdog against that kind of team setup, you've got so much going for you. And I think, I mean, when I use that example for Arsenal against Bayern Munich, when they won in Munich, I think it's that exact same thing. It's just they got into the game right from the off, and they just got in the faces of the supposedly favourites. And showed them up.
I think that was the thing. City just came in quite relaxed, thinking, oh, we'll get this. Doesn't matter how. Eventually we'll score, we'll win the match. And Wigan just wanted it a whole lot more than City did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone but City was very happy with that result. So let's move on, though, because we've got a lot to get through. We'll start off Aston Villa 1, Chelsea 2. Frank Lampard has now become the highest goal scorer for Chelsea and did it in
great style.
Yeah.
I mean,
right until the end.
Yeah, what a game. Like, I honestly didn't want Chelsea to win, of course, because I want Arsenal to be as high up on the table as possible by the last day. But, you know, if they were going to win the game, that's how I wanted them to do it, really. And yeah, Lampard, 2 goals, equaled the record and then broke it. And, yeah, just a great solo performance from him, really. Honestly, I think Aston Villa deserved a draw, but that's whatever.
Yeah, it's a shame for them, but I think everyone's quite happy for Frank Lampard.
Yeah, exactly.
He did deserve it, and the fact that Chelsea are still not ready to offer him a new deal, I think everyone just wanted him to get that before he left.
Exactly.
Let's keep going, though.
Oh, no, I have one more thing to say. I mean, it wasn't... I feel like this is the game we can least brush off. I mean, there was a lot that happened. Benteke got sent off, Ramirez sent off. It was a ghost goal, apparently. I didn't think it was a ghost goal, but you know, it's debatable. Terry was off with an injury, which looked pretty severe, and so was Hazard. So I don't know what that means for Chelsea in the Europa League. And yeah, at the end of the match, which what I thought was funny was Benitez was in the interview, and they asked, well, you know, you've guaranteed Champions League. If you win the Europa League, do you think he'll stay at Chelsea? And Rafa Benitez said, what do you think? Just a cheeky smile on his face. And so then the interviewer goes, do you still think Mourinho will be the one to replace you? And he says, I'll bet my job on it. So, not really a bet, actually, because he's not got his job, right? So,
yeah.
It's clever. Clever wordplay, Rafa.
Well, Chelsea do have that midweek final against Benfica. Pretty huge. They don't really have to worry too much about the league now.
Yeah, not at all.
So that was a big win for them. Unfortunately for Villa, they could have, if with a draw, would have really seen them safe.
Yeah.
Now I think they've still got a little bit to worry about, though.
Yeah.
Still favor them.
It all depends on the Wigan Arsenal game tomorrow, really.
It really does.
If Arsenal beat Wigan, that's it. It's game over. So.
Yeah. Big match. Let's go on to the other big top four team match. Tottenham 2, Stoke City 1. Stoke got the scoring started. Nzonzi got a goal. And then a pretty stupid error from Begovic, quite unlike him.
Well, I don't know that it was an error from him. It was a miscommunication at the back, rather. I think as a keeper, I'd be pissed off that the defender tried to clear that ball.
Yeah, it was a bit of both. I think he ran out and, just caught him out. There wasn't much he could do about it.
And, but, I mean, good on Dempsey for seeing that. I mean, it's odd. For once, Tottenham's man of the match is not Gareth Bale. It's Clint Dempsey.
Yeah, he had a great game. And, yeah, he got... finished that goal quite easily. Adebayor, actually, I mean, he scored the winner, but I thought he played the best game I've seen him play for Tottenham. Possibly.
He had some doozies last season. But, I mean, yeah, Clint Dempsey played in Adebayor for the winner. And, of course, Charlie Adams sent off. So that was a typical Stoke.
Yeah. It's quite stupid. I mean, Charlie Adams already on the yellow. There was no complaints there. He went in for a stupid tackle.
I don't know that its first yellow was actually a yellow, but once you do have that yellow...
Yeah, exactly. If you already have the yellow, then why go sliding around like that? I thought the ref did quite a good job throughout the game anyway.
Yeah.
Stoke's always going to be a difficult one.
Definitely.
Given their ridiculous amount of violence. but big win for Tottenham makes things close. But as you said, it's all up to Arsenal, really.
Mm-hmm.
It's ball still in Arsenal's court, and all comes down to tomorrow.
Theoretically.
If Arsenal win tomorrow, then do you think it's as good as done?
Yeah, because then Newcastle really don't need anything from the last game.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting. And I don't know if I'll be getting up. It's 4:45 in the morning. It's tough. But I have to get up. It's the second last game of the season. Damn you, Arsenal.
Let's go on. Everton sent off David Moyes with a nice win, 2-0 over West Ham.
Yeah, and quite an emotional send-off. The fans reacted really well to him leaving.
Yeah, no, I was really happy about that. You can never really tell with fans how they're going to sort of take the news like that.
Yeah, but Everton fans generally seem a good sort. They're not, Stoke fans.
Well, I think, he served the club well. He's been there for quite a long time now, and what he's done with the club is better than they could have ever hoped for. I saw the other day that he's only spent $30 million over the last 3 years. He's consistently been in the top six or seven teams throughout the last few years, and that's incredible.
Yeah, his one regret will probably be that he's never won silverware, but I suppose that's the way the cookie crumbles. Very good win. I mean, I'd say Everton played really, really well. And their first goal was just great. I mean, it was really simple. They just passed right through. All their key players were involved. It went from Baines to Fellaini to Pienaar to Morales, who finished. And it was all that passing in the space of about, 2 seconds. After the match, Sam Allardyce said, I told my players that it was going to be a bad atmosphere and they needed to get their heads in it. But the only player with a head in it was UC Eskelinen. And we could have lost by 5 today. So
Big Sam got a new contract as well. He'll be at West Ham for a little bit longer, by the looks of things. Well deserved, I think.
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's just come up out of the Championship, and they're not even in a relegation scrap. So
they've been pretty comfortable most of the season, really.
Pretty good stuff.
Let's go on. Fulham 1, Liverpool 3. Fulham now just trying to get involved in that relegation battle as hard as they can. They're doing everything they can. They went up 1-0. Berbatov, who I thought would miss the rest of the season, is still kicking. kicking goals. But then the Daniel Sturridge show started, and he scored a pretty nice hat-trick.
Yeah.
Coutinho as well. I think he got a couple of assists in there.
Yeah, and just the January signings, just very astute.
Yeah.
And I'm quite excited to see what Liverpool will be doing next season as well.
It just shows, I mean, Chelsea, if they had just given Sturridge a chance, instead of going out and buying Demba Ba, they could have just given Sturridge a chance. He's made 10 starts, scored 10 goals for Liverpool so far, which is better than, I think, any other player in the league.
Better than Demba Ba and Fernando Torres.
Well better than Demba Ba and Torres. Yeah, I mean, great. And I think Coutinho got his 7th assist or something, which is... He's zoomed up the top of... Oh, no, he's not the top, but he's zoomed right up the assist list.
Yeah.
List. which is incredible in only like 4 or 5 months.
No, Brendan Rodgers is clearly knows what he's doing and is his scouting of he's getting the right players in there.
He sure is.
Unlike Chelsea and Manchester City, who seem to have bought rather randomly, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was nice to see as well from Liverpool. I mean, they've got nothing really to play for. And when you've got a team like Fulham, who kind of do need to still get a win, or at least a point, for them to actually push and get that win was quite good. Shame on Fulham, really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they are mathematically safe because of goal difference. But, yeah, they've just dropped off so much at this tail end of the season. It's really not acceptable. I mean, if I were a Fulham fan, I really would question the management and what's going on at the club right now.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll go on. Norwich picked up their form, 4-0 against West Brom.
Yeah.
West Brom left, I think. I think they've all gone home.
Yeah, that's
about 3 weeks ago. So. Yeah. That wasn't too surprising. I mean, once Norwich got, they just sort of ran away with it. They went up, and then they just kept going, and West Brom were just like, not interested. But good on Norwich. I think now they're safe, which is good.
Yeah.
They were almost involved in that scrap, but they're fine, and good win.
Yeah, and that's good, because I do like Chris Hughton as a manager.
Yeah, and it's nice to see. I mean, they've been it's a really solid club, especially the first half of the season.
They went on an unbeaten run that matched Barcelona for a while.
Yeah,
so,
and they beat Man United, they beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
So I think they deserved it. Well done to them. Let's go to the next one. QPR Newcastle. QPR 1, Newcastle 2.
Woo!
QPR converted their first penalty of the season. First out of 4 misses.
Who would have thought that if you change your penalty taker, he might actually score one? But yeah, Loïc Rémy was taking this one instead of the perennial Adel Taarabt and converted. So there you go. And then, yeah, penalty to Newcastle as well. And they obliged. And then Johan Gouffran with the winner.
Yeah, and good on Newcastle. They're now safe.
Yeah, cut it close.
They also cut it really close. I think that's big news for Arsenal as well, really, because if they needed that win on the last day, then...
Especially because Alan Pardew, after the match, sense of relief washing over him, said, I don't care if Arsenal beat us 4-0 on the last day. So, thank you!
That's not a great attitude, but good news for Arsenal. Yeah, QPR just sort of scraping by. They did all right, actually, for chunks of the match. Harry Redknapp, again with the comments. I don't know why he has to keep drilling.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, they've been relegated already, man.
He just keeps kicking them until they're right. I think he just wants to take them down out of the championship even. He said most of the players in here wouldn't even be able to survive in the championship. And, I mean, most of the players he's playing are players he signed.
Yeah.
So,
and based on the talent levels there, they actually... They shouldn't even be in the championship. They've been mismanaged. The whole situation's been mishandled. The club's just crap. And it's a shame because, you know, the more I read about the chairman, Tony Fernandez, actually, he seems like a really nice guy, you know, despite him being super rich.
Yeah, he's a self-made millionaire, I think.
And yeah. And I saw on Twitter for next season, QPR reduced ticket prices, of course. And there was someone who complained, and a fan sent to Tony Fernandez a tweet that said, I like the price change, but I still can't afford it. And Tony Fernandez said, don't worry, I'll buy you a season ticket.
Huh.
Like, that's just, it's really cool to see, you know, get involved with the fans like that. It's a shame they've just been really handled badly.
It is really, I mean, a lot of those players I like, players, they're really good players. Remy's a great player.
Yeah, Remy, Granero.
For sure. Granero is quite good. Jason Park was a Man United faithful. Julio Cesar, the amount of talent in there is actually ridiculous, and I think just spoiled by a lot of this sort of arrogance from the original sort of group of players. The group of players they signed at the beginning of the year, just sort of complacency, and of course management, I think big management issues. And Harry Redknapp, I've never really been a fan of him, but
no.
becoming less and less every week.
Maybe he's just trying to get himself fired. Maybe, you know, he's got a contract for next year as well, and if he gets fired, he gets a lot of money. Yeah, but, I mean, why else do you insult every player on your team like that?
I mean, I don't know what he expects to get out of this.
it is literally so stupid.
I would love to see what it's like for them, like, at training and in the locker room around him.
He's probably not even there at training. He's probably, you know, at home having a piña colada, enjoying his nice paycheck.
Yeah. See, at least Mark Hughes was a bit more spirited than that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I think he had a better record as well.
He did, actually. Which doesn't say much about Harry. Sunderland drew with Southampton 1-1. Sunderland got the lead.
And that point for Sunderland means that Wigan have to win both of their last games. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, for Southampton as well, if they hadn't got that point, they would have been sort of back in a bit of a worried zone.
Yeah.
But good point for both of them. I think it was well deserved for both teams. Sunderland playing a bit short-handed, but
it's Sunderland.
Well. Yeah. Not much to say about that match, really.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much as per the usual, Southampton played beautiful-looking football, but you know they don't have the high quality of player, so they can't always win, even though they play the better football. And that's what happened.
Yep. And now our final match for the Premier League is Manchester United 2, Swansea 1. Sir Alex Ferguson's final match, Paul Scholes' final match.
Rio Ferdinand's first goal in 5 years.
And what a time to do it. Yeah, lots of emotion, lots of gossip, no Rooney. Scholes, of course, first match in about 5 months and didn't quite manage to hang in there the whole match.
No.
No one really expected that. Yeah, I'm not sure if we should. I suppose we could talk about SAF now or SAF later.
I don't know. I'll leave that up to you.
I don't know. I think we should maybe get through the match reports and then we'll.
Yeah, we'll cover the big transfers and
get on to all the
manager stuffs later.
Discussion. But yeah, I mean, just in terms of the actual celebration, it was a great day for Man United as a whole. The way they handled it, the flags in the crowd, the guard of honour, everything was really well done. And yeah, a really good send-off for the greatest manager of all time.
Yeah, and I noticed at the start of the match, before he walked onto the pitch through the guard of honour, he was going through the hallway really, really slowly.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, wow, he's really getting old. This must be... But I read later on, obviously he's trying to, you know, make it last as long as possible.
Yeah.
But I was thinking to myself, you know, wow, he's really not spry anymore, man. Oh, God.
Yeah, and Paul Scholes... Typically, I mean, he's always been quite a humble, sort of quiet character, and he really wanted to stay out of the limelight. I think he even said himself that couldn't have come, the timing of Ferguson retiring couldn't have come any better, because at least this way everyone was focused on Ferguson retiring instead of Scholes retiring, and he just sort of got to fly under the radar a bit, especially as well when Rooney got left out. That was all the talk that was on Rooney as well. So, yeah, I mean, Ferguson even tried in his speech to sort of
mention
get Scholes up and Scholes hit away like, oh, shut up, man. yeah, but goodbye, Paul Scholes. Been a great player. Wonderful career with Manchester United for the second time.
Yeah, this is not the last we've seen of Paul Scholes.
Who knows?
He will come back one day.
Well, everyone sort of favoured him to go into a coaching role, but now that Ferguson's gone, I think it's not such a certainty. You might, I'm sure, he'll take a bit of time off.
It's all right. You can come coach at Arsenal, Paul.
Yeah.
but, yeah, so that does it for England.
Yep. Let's actually, let's quickly... Championship
again? 2 weeks in a row?
Yeah. yeah, the playoffs. Watford, Leicester City. Watford, I mean, Leicester City getting a penalty right at the end.
And former Arsenal keeper, Manuel Almunia.
Almunia with a save, and then almost an assist. within minutes. Or within
seconds,
8 minutes.
Yeah.
Right down the other end. Watford score. Watford secure the place in the final for the playoffs. Terrible end if you're a Leicester fan.
Yeah. But well deserved by Watford. I think over the course of the championship season, they'd been the better side overall. So props to them, and look forward to maybe seeing you
Elton
in the Premier
John's
League next
club.
Season. Yeah.
Let's see Elton John singing a bit during the league next year. But
oh,
anyway.
Yeah. Rocket Man.
Let's go quickly. La Liga, Barcelona beat Atletico Madrid, and they won the title thanks to Real Madrid drawing with Espanyol.
Yes, the thing that surprised no one that's been in the works since, you know, they were 18 points ahead in, like, September. So, good job, Barcelona.
Yeah. Quite a muted sort of celebration, I think, just because of how
they're,
upset they are. Supposed
that Bayern Munich spanking. Oh, God, I'm still giddy about that. 7-0 on aggregate.
In other news, Real Sociedad drew and Valencia won 4-0, so they are now dead even. Real Sociedad got a 7-goal advantage, I think, for goal difference, but dead even for fourth place, so it's going to go right down to the end.
Boom. Makes for an interesting last day of La Liga.
Sure does. At least something's interesting about that league. Oh, we've still got Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid in the Copa del Rey final.
Yeah.
Which is big because Mourinho's pretty much gone already.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to turn out, actually. And have you heard that apparently he's not really talked, none of the players even talk to him anymore except maybe like a small pocket.
Well, I mean, he's pissed off everyone. Casillas was one of the big leaders at the club, and when you piss him off, he's obviously going to have his sort of clan of followers.
But I wonder who is still on Mourinho's side or who Mourinho is still, you know, interested in maintaining a positive relationship.
Well, there's
with.
Players like,
you think like
Michael Essien, who's just on loan from Chelsea, he could still be with him next season.
And he's
Varane. Would definitely want to keep on the good side because he'd want to take him wherever he goes. Not that I think Real Madrid would sell him. But,
well, not for,
yeah, not
a
for
small amount of money.
I think even he made that comment about, I think, to Pepe.
Yeah.
And Casillas, and he said Pepe's problem's name is... has
Rafael
Varane. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, there's a couple of players...
And I'm sure he wouldn't want to rub Ronaldo the wrong way too much. But
yeah, I don't know. I think Ronaldo as well has been sort of his boy, in a way. He brought him in. He's really been the star of the show for Real Madrid. Players like Kaká, obviously, who didn't get much time with... not be talking to him.
Yeah.
And who is made pretty clear he wanted to get rid of anyway in the last 2 years. But
now they're stuck with Kaká and they've lost Mourinho. Yeah. So, or, you know, theoretically.
Anyway, that about does it for La Liga. Let's quickly jump to Serie A. Juventus drew. Milan drew 0-0 with Roma in a very heated and disappointing clash.
Yeah.
It seems to be every week now, though, and it's getting pretty ridiculous with this whole racism. Especially, it's always targeting Balotelli and Boateng.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the Milan team that makes everyone want to...
Oh, it's because they're, I mean, there's the traditional big... They'd be like the Manchester United of Italy.
Yeah.
So it's easy to hate the big club.
And I suppose of the teams, they've probably got, I'd say, arguably the most ethnic group.
That's right.
Especially with, I mean, they've got so many African-descended players. But really disappointing.
Yeah, and after the match, Sepp Blatter made a comment on Twitter saying it was unacceptable with that solving the issue was very complex. Which, to me, makes no sense. You know, if you got the fans on camera being racist, ban them.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And then no one will be racist at a game again because everyone wants to watch football. So why is it complicated? It's really, really fucking simple.
Well, I think the big thing is it's all these ultra groups where you've got these big right-wing supporters, especially in Italy. It's one of the strongest. They've got such an influence over their club. For Roma to ban their fans, that group, that size of group, especially when they've been such a... I mean, they get privileges throughout... They get ticketing privileges and all that. And for them to ban them would cause a lot of... problems for the club.
Well, then that's why a big...
Yeah, well, I mean, that's
like,
why I think...
That's why FIFA has to step in and do it themselves.
That's what they need to do. They need to actually take a stand like that. I mean, Barcelona did it a few years ago. They banned their... the ultra group still exists, but they banned the crazy boys from their matches, which caused a lot of conflict, but at least it solved a problem to an extent because it became a lot less obvious and became a lot less extreme.
Yeah.
Something needs to be done, and that's about it. We can't solve it, unfortunately.
Yeah, we're just two dudes in a secondary living room.
You mean high-tech studio. Yeah, Napoli beat Siena 2-1. Fiorentina won 1-0, so they're actually only 2 points behind Milan. So Milan still need to win to secure that third position.
But yep.
Anyway, and Inter drew. Not that anyone cares. They're down to ninth now.
let's see how low they can finish.
Yep. That about does it for Serie A. Let's jump to the Bundesliga. Bayern Munich won 3-0 quite comfortably.
And they were awarded with their Bundesliga title.
Indeed.
Nice celebrations. As per German tradition, they all drank some nice beer.
Yeah, that was a great picture of Ribéry.
Without beer, because he's Muslim.
But then Boateng poured a whole pint of beer on his head. That was great. It made for some...
contact drunk.
A lot of memes about Ribéry getting angry at Boateng. but yeah, quite good fashion for Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
Dortmund drew 3-3. Reus left it quite late, saved them a point.
Who else would save them but Marco Reus? Wonderful player.
They're not playing Götze anymore. I mean, hey, he's been a bit unfit.
He had an injury.
But I don't think the fans are so happy with him anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, Reus, 80, I think 2 goals in the 84th, 88th minute.
You do wonder whether Götze will play in the final.
It's a really big issue for them.
Because he's one of their best players, but it's also a huge conflict of interest.
I'd love to see him score against Bayern just to see what would happen. Imagine if he did score against Bayern, how uncomfortable it would be going to that club. Because remember when Neuer went to Bayern Munich, the crowd hated him.
Yeah, for sure.
And it took like half a season just to sort of win him over.
And it's not like Neuer was scoring goals.
Imagine if Götze was the reason they didn't win the Champions League.
Yeah.
And then he had to go there. It would be chaotic. Playing Götze is a problem because he'd be so nervous and so unsure of what to do.
Yeah.
It could actually ruin a lot of this play. But
and I think that's probably, for me, it's thrown their Champions League out the window. If there's anything.
I think it's terrible because it's such an influential player for them. And it'll really throw their team off.
Yeah.
It sucks. I think that's why I like transfers happening during the transfer window.
Yeah, I don't get this.
Not during this whole end of the season. Oh, we've secured a deal, blah, blah, blah. They shouldn't be allowed to.
To be fair, that's how we got Podolski last season at Arsenal. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not like he was in the Champions League. He was getting relegated.
Big transfers like this between clubs when you've got a guy
moving
to the rival club.
And they're two huge rivals.
Anyway.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, Manchester City announcing they bought Rooney today. Oh!
Could happen. Leverkusen won. So I think Dortmund's still 4 points ahead, so they're fine.
Yeah.
I think it's just the one match left, isn't it?
Yeah, and even if they aren't, it's really second and third is interchangeable. Yeah. It's not really. It doesn't make a difference in Champions League. So.
And let's jump to France, where PSG. They secured their title.
Surprise, surprise.
David Beckham has now won a title in England, Spain, America, and France, which is pretty bloody impressive. Good career for him. He came on board at the exact right time just to get that title.
Come to Australia. Win one here.
Well, apparently they've given him another contract.
Yeah, another year. Contract extension.
I think they say that his leadership in the locker room is just worth
while. I think he'd be like a Paul Scholes, really.
Yeah, he's so experienced and such a strong leader. It's a shame, really, that he's playing for PSG. Anyway.
At the same time, despite them using money, I have newfound respect for PSG because of what they did to Barcelona, and I like it. It's fine.
I like it only because of the fact that it sort of puts French football on the map.
Yeah, that's another reason, and that's why I'm not too fussed about Monaco as well next season.
France does have, I think, tighter salary cap rules than other leagues.
Yeah,
but I think it's good just for them to have money, just be able to compete in Europe. It'd be nice to see, I really like Lyon and Marseille and how they handled it. It'd be nice if they could sort of
But I think this might be, because Marseille and Lyon have been just entrenched in a two kind of person battle for so long, PSG came and shook things up. And I think next season and in future seasons, if they're managed well, Marseille and Lyon will be back on top. They they have the capability to, and they sure they of course have the history and the far larger fan base. So I think if they can do it, and it's good that these clubs are coming to challenge them. It's only going to make it more exciting to watch.
Yep, and even I mean, you got Lille and Saint Etienne. All of them, they're playing very. I mean, the league's been so close this season, even with PSG.
Yeah, and I mean, you could say PSG were ahead for a lot of it, but I mean, at winter time, it was even between PSG
and Lyon were right up there. It looked like Lyon could even run away at one point.
I mean, it only really got the gap extended in the last couple months or so. So, yeah. With the arrival of Lucas Moura.
Pretty much. yeah, that about does it. Marseille won 2-1. And, yeah, I mean, that sort of secures things. I think Lyon should still finish third.
Yeah, short of a miracle from Saint-Étienne, it looks like Champions League from France next season.
Saint-Étienne lost again.
Yeah.
Montpellier lost. I think Lille won, so they're actually still up there. But, yeah, that about does it for Ligue 1.
Yeah.
Let's go one quick note. Actually, got two more quick notes before we ended our big discussions. Porto and Benfica was a big... I mean, we have never spoken about the Portuguese League once on this show, but...
Which is unfair, because it's actually a pretty good league.
Porto and Benfica, which I didn't even know, had both been undefeated the entire season up until this match. They played each other. Porto won 2-1 in the last minute or 2 minutes. Kelvin scored the winner. And Porto are now 1 point ahead of Benfica on the table. With one match left, Porto have to play a third-placed Paco de Ferreira, and while Benfica play the second-last team, which is Moreirense. We're going right down to the last day for them, and Benfica also do have their midweek final, though, against Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, that is going to take it out of them.
So it's a pretty huge week for Benfica. Porto is still undefeated, though. Great season for them. It's gone really under the radar.
Yeah, I can't believe that's not been bigger news.
And the final bit of news, Van Bommel has retired from football.
After getting sent off.
Yeah, did it in typical style. He went in and got himself sent off and sort of started the farewell party a bit early.
Yeah, what a sad way to go. It's like Zidane.
It's almost fitting for him. He's been... It's sort of typical of his career, but such a great player anyway.
Yeah, like Zidane.
Sort of forgot he was even playing after he left Milan and went back to the Dutch league. We don't hear too much about the Dutch league, so...
Yeah, he was only in Milan for a season, wasn't he? That was quick.
I suppose he just sort of played a role, and then he's old-ish. Anyway, another great player retiring this week.
They're going everywhere, my childhood heroes.
Yeah, they're getting old, man.
Yeah, goddamn.
Let's go into some big discussions. What should we start with?
Oh, the big one. Come on.
Yeah, let's go Man United's management situation.
Yeah, Roberto Mancini has been offered the job at Manchester United.
Imagine. imagine if Ferguson actually retired... Just so, as a way of getting a position at Manchester City, and they'd actually offered him, he would never. Don't even say such a thing.
You said stop talking to yourself, man. Be professional. So Sir Alex Ferguson is retiring, which now means Arsenal can run away with the league next season. Woo!
That rocked. I mean, this is just the day after even the day of our podcast coming out last week, we heard the news. Surprising, yes, but at the same time, we've been expecting it every year for the last 6-7 years. So, I think it was a good time for him, really, to do it.
Off a 20th championship. It would have kind of sucked if he'd, left last season.
Yeah.
I think
that was the thing. Last year, he lost, and it was in such a sort of tense way that he just really wanted to get back. I mean, we really had hopes of winning... Even the treble this year.
Yeah.
That sort of fell apart, but I think it's a really good time. I think the club, for a fresh start, just a bit... It's kind of exciting. I know it's really sad to see him go, but it's a really exciting time, because I like the fact, we'll be rebuilding sort of And you got players like Rooney looking like they're going to be going out. You got Scholes retiring. So we got a lot of room for new players to come in and just sort of reshape the team. And hopefully Moyes does a good job with it. I think I really have a lot of hope for him. I think he just needs a lot of support from the fans and the players.
Well, yeah, the biggest compliment I can give to the appointment of Moyes would be I'd have been happy if he'd replaced Arsene Wenger at Arsenal. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it's good you got him. And, I mean, there are plenty of other managers perhaps I would have been more happy with at Arsenal because, but I mean, this isn't about Arsenal. But, I mean, in terms of the style of play of Manchester United, if you compare it to Everton, I'd say they're actually quite similar. I mean, Manchester United have always had a kind of an attacking mentality, but they've always been strong at the back as well. And, you know, they've been able to dig out 1-0 wins, and that's what Everton have done a lot this season.
Yeah.
So,
be interesting as well, I think, just to see the players. I mean, Ferguson's been really interested in Baines over the last few years.
Yeah, and I mean, you can easily see Fellaini and Baines jumping.
Yeah, and especially
now.
I think Monaco apparently planning on swooping for Evra. Even PSG were interested, a lot of people. But, I mean, it's a sort of a good time for Evra's coming on in age as well. It wouldn't be such a big loss. I mean, I thought he's been great this season.
Yeah, and you've got Butner.
But yeah, for Baines to come in as well.
Oh, yeah, Baines, of course.
Fellaini, even.
Yeah, and I think Fellaini gives you something you've been wanting in midfield for a few seasons now, right? You
know, well, he sort of exposed the first match of the season when they beat us. He sort of exposed exactly what we were lacking, and that was him. And last year as well, when with the whole 4-4 draw, it was really him. And I think ever since then, it's sort of been clear that he would be he's a really versatile player.
He can go everywhere from defensive midfield to a striker. So
yeah, and the fact, I mean, Moyes has that connection. Man United have the money, and I think just to buy players that he's had experience with would be kind of good, especially just to establish a sort of loyalty in the locker room as well.
Yeah.
Because this whole team, Ferguson's been there for 26 years, so every single player in there has been signed and worked with Ferguson.
Yeah, and, you know, Robin Van Persie joined to work with Alex Ferguson. Yeah.
Well, he got to.
Yeah,
and he got the title.
Good job.
Yeah.
But I'm also really excited to see what this opens up in terms of possibilities for other teams. Like I said, Liverpool are really resurging, and I think next season could be a huge season for them.
Well, even the fact, I mean, Chelsea, Man United, and Man City now, and Everton will all have new managers next season.
Yeah.
And I think that really does make next season quite exciting, because...
Yes. I mean, and from an Arsenal perspective, Arsenal as well, we've gone from... a team that was based on young players and like, oh, we'll breed these loyal young players. And they all left every summer. So now Wenger's changed his strategy and it looks like no one's leaving in the summer. And if it is, it's like Sanya. That's not, you know, we've got a perfect replacement in Carl Jenkinson. So it's just really interesting as well for that. If we get a couple key players in, Arsenal are going to be right up there challenging as well. I can see Liverpool challenging. Chelsea under Mourinho will, of course, be challenging. Manchester United... But I can also see City dropping off. You know, under new management, maybe it's not going to go well for them. And Everton... Yeah,
at the same time, City have had so many problems with Mancini over the years.
But I don't know that the problems have been Mancini. I think the problem is more the chairman. I mean, I don't know how much say Mancini had in his signings over the summer.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. He signed Scott Sinclair and Jack Rodwell. It's going to be a really interesting season.
Yeah. Definitely. So a lot of hope from everyone. And it's odd because, you know, Alex Ferguson's been there since before we were born.
Yeah.
You know? Like, oh, God, that's crazy. And just to, he's been there for the whole modern Premier League era, and now he's gone.
And it's sort of exciting. That's why I think it is exciting, because it's sort of a fresh start.
It's a new horizon.
It's sort of unknown. We don't know how it's going to pan out. Man United have to rebuild as well, which is, I mean, it's difficult. Even if we don't win the league for a year or two, I think it's just a really exciting. I like to sort of see clubs rebuild like that and sort of get reinvigorated with some new talent. Because it's been largely the same team over the last few years, just a couple of key players every season coming in. And with Rooney, who's been so instrumental in our team like the last decade, he's definitely on his way out.
Probably.
By the looks of it. And
yeah, what do you think about that? How that's all panned out?
Well, I mean, he didn't have the best seasons by his standards. He still didn't have a bad season. I think people...
Yeah, I think people are very harsh
on him. Yeah, I think people are over-criticizing him because you look at, A, he's almost at the top of the assist board. He's got, I think, one less than Marta.
Yeah, and he's playing in a deeper role. So, of course, he's not going to score as many
goals.
That's
the thing. And he still scored, like, I think 11, 10, whatever, goals this season.
And he was injured for a good chunk of it, too.
Yeah. I thought he's been fine. When he has played, he's been... Like, he was, I mean, some of these matches, when he was in the midfield, he was our man of the match.
Yeah.
And even just the way when him and Van Persie did link up, it worked quite well. They didn't get too many chances. And I think just the fact that He has, for the last few years, had a few sort of clash heads with Ferguson a bit. And I think that did have a part to play in his role this season, especially when he's... I mean, he wants to be a striker, obviously, and for him to move away, I think he will be a great striker for another club. But at the same time, you can't... I mean, he's... I'm not angry as such. I think it's disappointing, but he's been... I mean, he's been such a great player. He's always going to be a United legend, no matter what. He's our top goal scorer pretty much of all time. So, I mean, he's always going to be remembered.
And I wonder how big a part Ferguson's retirement had in that, because I know he left Everton on not such great terms with David Moyes.
Yeah, well, that was the thing. Everyone says, as soon as Moyes got brought in, he's like, oh, I'm not working with him again.
Yeah. Doesn't want to be reminded that he eats too much McDonald's.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where he goes, though. I'm kind of hoping he doesn't end up in England.
Yeah, no, but it's really strange. Apparently, Arsenal and Chelsea are linked, and I don't know what to think as an Arsenal fan. Like, I mean,
I just find it hilarious that Van Persie's with us and Rooney's with Arsenal.
Yeah. It'd be quite so the role reversal. It'd be the same age as well, because Rooney's going to be 29 now, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, Van Persie left when he was 29. We'd get Rooney when he was 29.
It's really funny. It'd be a great match if it did happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, to be honest, I mean, if of all the English clubs, I would rather him go to Arsenal than City or Chelsea.
Yeah, because Arsenal aren't cunts.
They're respectable teams, exactly. And I think, as well, he would provide them with a lot of what they need. Because as a striker, I think people forget that the last few years he's been playing sort of a deeper role, but he was one of the best strikers in the world, and I think still could be.
Yeah.
And in terms of Chelsea, I don't like them. So.
Yeah, and it seems they've done a good job of killing good strikers.
Yeah, that's the thing. Seasons. I don't want to see him go there and end up like Torres and Barr. And City, I don't know. I just don't like City at all.
Yeah, no one likes City.
I don't want him to be there. And though, especially to go again to another Manchester club would just be...
Given City's recent signings, it's the same. If they buy him, I can see him becoming a flop. And it's just, that's it, it's over.
Yeah. Well, that's why I kind of want him to sort of test the waters in another nation.
Yeah, well, PSG apparently interested, because they're interested in everyone who can sell shirts.
I think, as well, going to PSG would be great for French football. Just in terms of spreading it to an international level, another big name like that.
And on that note, you know, Falcao recently...
Yeah, apparently
he was apparently pegged on going to Chelsea, but now, you know, Monaco... and a PSG record
could
deal.
Be, I mean, not PSG, Ligue 1 could be the place to be.
Yeah, God, if you want to make money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge signing if the rumors are true. And from what I've read, the Spanish paper that produced that report doesn't usually publish gossip.
Marca?
No, it wasn't Marca. It was a smaller one. But yeah, it doesn't... Fairly accurate, probably. So Falcao in Liga, Rooney in Liga, that would be...
Falcao, Rooney, Ibrahimovic.
Zlatan, yeah.
That's a pretty nice batch of strikers. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over the summer. As I said, we've got a lot of room to buy. Especially, I mean, defensive-wise as well, we need some new centre-backs, I think.
I don't know, Rio Ferdinand still scoring goals.
Yeah.
And defending well, of course.
And yeah, just, I mean, we've got Zaha coming in already, which is quite interesting.
Yeah, I wonder which of your wingers you're going to offload, because all of Young, Nani, and Valencia have been disappointing this season.
Yeah, well, Young is disappointing because he's been unfit. He's been injured, he's on crutches at the moment. And when he was there, I thought he played really well. He didn't really get too many matches. Nani, was supposedly fit most of the season. He was just sort of disappointing. And Valencia, I think, was the most disappointing for me, just because of how good he was the season before. But yeah, it'd be interesting.
So let's move on to the other big news out of Manchester.
Yeah, Roberto Mancini. Goodbye. Cool. It wasn't really a surprise, but...
But the way they did it.
I want to know if they had won the FA Cup, would they have fired him? I think they still would have fired him.
No, because the day... right before the Cup, the press conference before the Cup final, they were already talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Well, as soon as Man United secured the league, that was when the real talk started.
And it's so stupid. This is a guy who won Manchester City an FA Cup 2 years ago. Last year, got them their first premiership in, like 40 years or something.
Yep.
Good job on firing him. Way to try and build a legacy.
That's what I hate about clubs like this. It's the same with Chelsea. I mean, let the man bloody build a team. If anything, Ferguson retiring should prove to you how successful it is
exactly.
to keep a manager in for that period of time. I mean,
especially when you consider his first four seasons at Manchester United.
Exactly. Mancini accomplished more in his first four than Ferguson did. Obviously, Mancini's
a lot more money.
A lot of money to work with.
But still.
But it's just ridiculous that they actually do. It's really disappointing. And Mancini, as much as he's been controversial the last few years, I actually like him. I think
he seems like a decent manager and a decent person
as well.
He's
entertaining.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and just because they didn't get it, I mean, they're second. It's not like they've dropped off a ton.
What's the problem? They were in the FA Cup final, they finished second. Okay, they lost the FA Cup final, but...
When you look at the chance, there are only four chances every season for a trophy. There's the FA Cup, the Champions League, the Capital One Cup, and the Premiership. I mean, one little slip up in any of those games or in any of those leagues, and you're done. And it doesn't reflect on you being a terrible manager if you go one season without winning a trophy. I mean, it's completely stupid. I mean, you look at Arsenal. Arsene Wenger hasn't won a trophy in 7 years, and he's still being linked to Real Madrid because everyone knows he's still a fucking good manager. And it's completely stupid. They've gone and fired him. I mean, when you look at the sackings this season, I'd say the only dumber one would probably have been Roberto Di Matteo.
Yep. I don't understand it. I don't know what they're going to get out of it either. Because if anything, next year's going to be worse for them. I think if they'd kept Mancini, he would have been able to actually still fight. But now, I mean, when you get a new manager, you're always going to drop off a little bit.
Yeah, because there's no continuity.
Yeah.
Where Mancini knows what the problems were this season. He would have had a summer transfer window to try and fix them.
And the thing is, he's had, this is the sort of year where he would, his team is actually sort of becoming a complete team. He's had the last few years to slowly build it up every year, buying a few more guys, or a lot more guys. But even so, as you said, he could plug the holes that they had. And I think next year, had they kept Mancini, I reckon I would have been really worried about them next year because they would have been a really complete side.
And that's what I was saying earlier. Because they've sacked Mancini, I can see Manchester City dropping out of the top four next year. Easy.
Yeah. Well, the thing, new manager, new style. Players aren't necessarily going to fit with his style.
Exactly.
He's going to have to reshuffle a lot of things. A lot of players as well, I mean, they've got their own problems. You've got people, you might lose a couple as well. Tevez looks like he might be on his way out again.
Yep.
Touré
is getting on in age and hasn't been fantastic this season either.
Yeah, I mean, even David Silva's not so young. I think he's already 29 or something, whatever.
So what happens when you buy 28-year-olds?
The thing is, they've been great for Mancini anyway, and I think they would have. I think they're going to regret this decision.
Yeah.
Well, I hope they do.
Yeah.
Just because that means they won't do well. And we all want to see that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same as been happening with Chelsea. I mean, you look at Chelsea, and as I've said many times, on paper, they have the best team in the league.
Yeah.
And they're not doing anything with it because they have no stability. I mean, they're in the Europa League, for fuck's sake. I mean, at least they made the final. But still, I mean, last season they finished, eighth or... What, it was fifth or something?
Fifth.
Yeah.
Eighth, come on.
But it was really close, I remember. It was only, 4 or 5 points between fifth and eighth. It's really disappointing. that they can't get that consistency. And that's why, you know, there'll be like Frankenstein, Jekyll and Hyde performances where, you know, Chelsea can win the Champions League, but then completely flounder against a crappy club in the FA Cup. No club is crappy. I apologize for that. A lesser club. It's because they don't do, they change every, all the time. And it's the same that's going to happen with City now.
Yep. Yeah. I think that about does it, really.
Yeah.
I think we've covered everything.
Whew, what a big week, man.
Next week's going to be almost as big anyway. We've got some big matches riding on this weekend.
Yeah, or tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, exhilarating stuff. I'm actually so sad it's going to be over. But, God, it's just...
But even so, I mean, the transfer window is pretty bloody exciting.
Yeah.
I get quite excited by it. And especially this year.
But I wish life could be a bit more like FIFA. When there was a boring transfer day, you just hit next.
Well, that's the thing I hate about the transfer window is, like, the waiting. First few weeks, like, nothing happens. Yeah. Then you're really right at the end when it gets really exciting. And then you get a bit of a disappointment on deadline day when nothing really happens. Yep. That about wraps it up there.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been riding a horse. That's wind through my hair. So, yeah, if you want to follow us on Facebook, it's The Spot Kick. Or you can follow us on Twitter at The Spot Kick, where we've got plenty of stuff to say all the time about everything, not just Manchester United and Arsenal. We've also got the blog, which we tend to pick up more in the transfer season, actually.
It sort of correlates with our semesters at university.
Yeah, that's what it boils down to, really.
So expect to see a lot of exciting things happening there over the next month or two.
Yeah.
All
right, well, thank you for listening. Jason, you have a great day. But all you other listeners, too, or listener singular, have a great day.
Eddie, if you made it this far, congratulations.
We love you.